Today on Locked On Hawkeyes, we got LaShawn Daniels back in. We're going to talk a lot of Iowa football, get his perspective, the gambling investigation. What were those conversation likes for players when they told you don't gamble on sports? We'll get into that. The offseason and the lead up, getting back ready for June camp. A lot of guys will be arriving on campus. What is this time period like for Iowa football? All today on the Locked On Hawkeyes podcast.
Our Locked On Hawkeyes, your daily podcast on the Iowa Hawkeyes. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
He's LaShawn Daniels, I'm Trent Condon, and this is the Locked On Hawkeyes podcast. Thanks for making Locked On Hawkeyes your first listen every day. We're available wherever you get podcasts. You can also find us on YouTube. While you're there, make sure you hit that subscribe button. Helps us get in front of more Hawkeye fans. LaShawn, good to catch up with you again. How are things?
Yeah. It's always good to be on the pod. Things have been good. It's nice. Starting to get some nice weather, which has been fantastic. Been able to be outside a bunch. And then, you know, just a bunch of work. Like, literally feel like work from sun up to sundown, just running away, which is a good thing, right? I mean, especially with how the economy is and a bunch of different things, right? It's good to be in a decent job and working, so can't really complain. How about you?
Everything's good here back in the state of Iowa. Excited. We got a lot going on the front as we kind of morph our way into the offseason a little bit deeper. We're past spring football. But we've got a couple of things we want to get into here today. The gambling investigation. I know you had the conversation when you were an Iowa player, and I want to get into that a little bit more and kind of what you guys were told about gambling. It's a different world now with it being legalized in the state of Iowa, but we're going to get into that. I want to start here today, though, as we await a couple weeks away from guys like Nick Jackson, who will be transferring in from Virginia, Rusty Feth coming in from Miami of Ohio, then all the freshmen that weren't early enrollees that they make their way onto campus. But for the players, is this basically your vacation? Is this kind of your time? Finals are done. School's done. A lot of summer classes haven't quite started yet. Is this a time where a lot of guys are going home? What's it like inside the football offices and this kind of lead up until the time we get back to June? What is this time like for the football players?
Yeah. So this time right now is probably the most valuable time, like personal time you're going to have the entire year. Maybe even like right after the bowl game or after the season ends, you get a pretty decent break. But like right now, I don't know when their classes ended, but like say, for example, if they ended last week, like they basically have off until players have off until like the first week of June-ish. So like you got a bunch of time. So a lot of times this is the time when I would head home, see the family, because obviously being from Ohio, it's not like I was driving home every weekend or anything like that. Like I was just heading back, you know, maybe three times a year. So this time it's a bunch of valuable time. Guys getting back home around their families. Maybe even if they have any vacations set up, like this is the time that you're going to take them. And then the strength conditioning staff, they'll give us like some little workouts and things to do for us just so we don't come back that first week of June just like completely out of it. But they know, obviously, this is a vital time just for our bodies, make sure that, hey, we're getting rest and recovery. We're getting away from the facility, getting away from, you know, just the football complex in general, just so you can get back and just relax. Because once you get back, now you're basically in it until January. Like, I mean, you're going to have, like, you have a quick little break at the beginning of July and, like, maybe like a weekend, like before fall camp, but for, like basically once you get back in June, it's like you're in it until the end of the football season.
You know, as we look at this, and I mentioned a couple of the newcomers coming in, Nick Jackson, he's got big shoes to fill, taking over for either Jack Campbell in the middle or playing outside, depending on what they do with him and Jay Higgins, but he's going to be in the linebacker spot and he's going to be really important. Rusty Feth adding some depth to the interior of the offensive line. Those guys coming in. And then you just think of it in its totality. As we look at this haul that Iowa football brought in this season and going to the portal, Iowa has, you know, put their toe in the water a little bit the last couple of years and just how hard they have gone now through the portal and what they bring in. I'll be honest, LeSean, I didn't think it was going to ever happen at this level. I thought it would be, you know, trickle. The Cade McNamara news, that was huge in its own right, right? Getting a player like that to come in from the portal. But you couple it with Eric Gall and Deacon Hill, and in the aforementioned Rusty Feth, a couple of receivers and Seth Anderson and Caleb Brown coming in from Ohio State. Dejon Parker to help by that offensive tackle spot. Not just getting a couple of guys, but getting just this volume. Portal Kirk, a guy that you know incredibly well. Did you ever think we were going to be at this kind of point with the haul that they brought in this season?
To be honest, no. Like, so I was definitely encouraged, like, at the when Transfer Portal first opened back in, was that December? Mm-hmm. And you're like, okay, like, yeah, they're definitely making some really good moves. But it wasn't anything like it was great moves, but it wasn't anything like just completely like, wow, like absolutely just mind blowing. So I figured like, hey, they probably feel pretty good about the roster, where it's at, but see, they're going to continue to make some moves, additional moves. And then, you know, lo and behold, as time has kind of gone on and second transfer portal window opened again, they got back in it again and was very, very involved, which I think is just encouraging. Obviously, we kind of figured out where they were as a roster last year. And they definitely obviously had to sit down a bunch and really go and evaluate from top to bottom. Like, okay, like where are our weaknesses? Where can we really look to improve? And what guys are available in the transfer portal that we're not sure that the people that we're bringing in, you know, in our recruiting class, like for high schoolers, are going to be able to make that immediate impact this upcoming year. So they obviously had to go out on the guys in the portal. And I think they found, you know, a couple players that are definitely going to make a really quick immediate impact. And then some other guys that are going to be some really, really good depth pieces on the roster as they continue to go through the time at Iowa. So I think I was honestly genuinely surprised of how hard they actually attacked it, but I'm glad that they did, just because, again, we've talked about it on this show plenty of times. It's just the way the future of college football really is. You're not just going to be able to just win on your own recruiting class that you high school recruiting class that you bring in every year. You're going to have to go out. You're going to have to do some additional recruiting on some guys that are on different teams throughout college football that can help bolster your roster and really give you guys a boost and several position needs. It's almost like a free agency in the NFL, right? I mean, you have the draft and you're definitely always trying to draft for the best player available. But a lot of times in free agency, you're trying to target some positions of need. And I feel like that Iowa has really done that during these two transfer portal periods.
You know, it's really cool too that Iowa kind of did it the Iowa way, right? It wasn't just going out there and looking for the flashiest things or the guys that had the most stars behind their name. It was, we want to know these guys and not just guys that can help our football team, but also fit into culture, the Iowa culture and what Kirk Ferentz builds time in and time out. It's not just a cliche, is it, at Iowa? It is something that's incredibly important to the program.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's something that is drilled into you really from the day you get on campus, like from any of the orientations, whether it's from the football staff or the academic staff or whoever is really involved, like with the program, like it's a culture thing from top to bottom. And obviously you don't know exactly what's going to exactly how each person is until you actually get them there and you're around them all the time, but you can definitely do a good chunk of due diligence. And I was continually done that throughout the years. It's part of the reason why a bunch of the players that have played at Iowa always like love to come back, right? You know, they treat like family and different things like that, just because they've got that. Coach Ferentz has built such a strong culture at Iowa that the guys, they want to come back. They want to be around. They want to be involved in variety of different things. And obviously getting players that are in right now, that they have to be able to fit that mold. And obviously if they end up not, hey, they end up doing different things, and then that's okay too. But definitely the guys that you get in the building, they're guys that you want to have in the building. They're good people, and as well as being good football players.
Let's continue our conversation and look at the football program and what you went through when gambling was different. It wasn't legal in the state of Iowa, but I know it was a conversation that was incredibly important that you guys had year after year. We're going to get into that as we continue here on the Locked On Hawkeyes podcast. and what is the latest in the investigation. We continue here in a moment with more Locked On Hawkeyes. Today's episode is brought to you by Bird Dogs. Now, LaShawn, I don't know if you got the info. So Bird Dogs, they are our newest sponsor here on the Locked On Network. These are incredibly comfortable shorts, pants, and I just got a box in the mail. I just got the delivery notification. Now, I'm stuck here in the radio studio, so I haven't got my hands on them yet, but I'm pumped up about this one. We got a lot of great sponsors here. Bird Dogs, though, have you seen the info on these guys? They do shorts right, and I'm a light guy that likes my casual gear. This is a pretty fun one, isn't it?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it's definitely a place I got to get some more gear from, definitely some shorts. I love, especially as we get in, the summertime, I definitely love to have the legs out. So definitely got to invest in a bunch of shorts and just, add it to the collection.
Got the stretchy fabric, make you look good, comfier than anything you're going to get shorts or pants wise. And the versatility from wearing them to work out or wearing them out, hanging out with friends. They got you covered there. We will tell you more about it as we get our hands on them. And they're sitting on my front step right now, excited to get my hands on Bird Dogs. Go to birddogs.com/lockedoncollege. And when you enter the promo code LockedOnCollege, they're going to throw in a free custom Bird Dogs Yeti style tumbler with every order. That sounds pretty good as well. So looking forward to that, LaShawn, and looking forward to this Iowa football season. But we do have questions going on right now. And one of the main questions that I continue to get, who's going to be in trouble for the gambling investigation? We did know that football is involved. At what realm? I've been told probably not any headliners, not anybody that would make you say, oh boy, this Hawkeye team is in trouble, but every one of the 85 scholarship guys are important, and we'll have more information, it sounds like, in the coming days. So going back to when you were playing at Iowa, legalized gambling in the state was not something that was there for sports wagering. PASPA, when that was overturned, completely changed things in Iowa, became one of the first states where sports wagering was legalized outside of course, Las Vegas and Nevada. What was it like? What were those conversations like? Because I've talked to plenty of people in the past. Everybody knew you can't gamble on sports.
Yeah. I mean, in general, we knew, hey, in general, gambling isn't something, we really participated in that very often. I mean, even when we went to bowl games, they always gave us warnings about gambling, going to casinos and things like that. Sports gambling, although it's still gambling, it's obviously a lot closer to home because a lot of times that as a player, you're probably going to be directly involved, whether it's, obviously your type of play and people betting for or against you. Right. I would be lying if I sat up here and said that I was completely paid attention. I was locked in every single time that we had orientations, mm-hmm. About those different things. About gambling, but in general, when you got out of the conversations, it just came down to, hey, don't even bother with it. Don't bother with sports gambling. It's not worth the risk. It's not worth the trouble. Obviously once you get done playing, go ahead, do as you please. But as of right now, do not get involved with it just because, hey, I mean, a student athlete can be involved with it. There's a ton of different rules and regulations around it as betting as an athlete, and it just wasn't just not worth the headache and trying to think of every exact situation of when you can and can't gamble. I mean, that's the same reason as what got some of those Lions football players in trouble as well, because again, in the NFL, you can bet as a player, but you can't, there's certain rules that are for and against you. You can't bet on NFL games. Obviously we saw that with Calvin Ridley a couple years ago, got in trouble. And then you can't bet when you're on the plane, you can't gamble when you're, in the team facility and things like that. So it's why have to deal with all of that when you can just say, forget it. I'm just not even going to bother with it. And, I'll get into that realm once I'm done playing. So yeah, everyone definitely knows that you can't gamble. So, it's not people didn't know.
No, I'm a gambler. I think, LaShawn, you've picked up on that in our conversations here over the last 9 months or so. I love to gamble. I gamble every single day, and it doesn't matter the sport. I'm always involved. Now, I'm a low-wager player. I don't put a lot of money into it. I'm not going to ever have anything where my mortgage is going to be in trouble or can't pay the daycare bill or anything like that. I'm betting $10 a time, and I just have fun with it. It is really at this point in time, it's kind of, I call it my hobby. I don't collect memorabilia. I don't do things like that. It is ultimately for me. That is what I do kind of as my hobby. I'm not going to make a ton of money. I'm not going to lose a ton of money. I'm just going to enjoy it and be able to go that route. So that's how I look at it. And with it being legalized and just the change in structure, do you believe that there should be a way that college athletes can bet on sports? Not their own teams, obviously, not even the sport that they play, and probably not even the school that they go to. You can't bet on the women's basketball team. There was rumblings that maybe that was something that some of these players were betting on Iowa to beat South Carolina, you know, in the Final Four, things like that. But where if you're a football player and you want to bet on the NBA, you want to bet a baseball game and whatever the limits are, you can do that. Plus, the guys have a little more money these days to dabble in something like that. Are you somebody that you think the NCAA at minimum needs to relook at the way that this is put together and kind of the hard and fast rules that are out there?
Well, I definitely think there should be something because, I can speak a little bit closer because NFL and especially because my brother's still playing. So like other conversations all the time. And, you know, you see all the advertisements throughout, the games or whatever, if it's on NFL Network or whatever, and you see this stuff, it's like, you know, DraftKings, it's FanDuel, it's whatever betting site that you guys use, like all that stuff is being advertised. And, you know, how, like, it can't be that fair. Like if, you know, you're advertising all these different things and the people that are employed, that are actually doing all the stuff, that are making the money and they can't take advantage of it, is definitely, can definitely be frustrating. So now you come back to NCAA and now you're looking at it like, there needs to be something around it because now all obviously like all this stuff is being promoted. It's being seen on commercials when you're playing games, when you're watching games, and all this stuff. And again, the people that are directly contributing to the outcome of this stuff can't partake in it. It's definitely something that needs to be looked at. But it's such a fine line with everything because obviously as an athlete, you're typically gonna have a lot better information than your average Joe, right? And now you got to have rules around that. And you talk about it, obviously not betting on your team or even other sports teams at the same university, things like that. So they're gonna have to come up with some type of rules and regulations for it. I don't think just outright not allowing them to do it. I don't think that that's very fair, but there's got to be something there, and it's got to be like a definitive line that players know what they can and can't do. So, you kind of avoid the situation and you avoid a bunch of guys, getting in trouble for, again, doing things, taking part of what you said, a hobby, because I can definitely hear that. Like, it definitely does make watching some of the sports a little bit more entertaining, especially when you got a little something extra riding on it besides, just a gut feeling.
Sean Daniels, Trent Condon with you here on Locked On Hawkeyes. We'll take a quick timeout, continue our conversation in the gambling world. We talked about our odds from FanDuel, over-unders on football totals. There's some new odds out, the Big Ten West. Who's going to win the division? We'll talk about that as we roll through here on Locked On Hawkeyes. Trent Condon and LaShawn Daniels back with you one final time on the Locked On Hawkeyes podcast. Thanks for making Locked On Hawkeyes your first listen every day. Coming up tomorrow, you everydayers, we got you covered as we will talk about the Iowa baseball team. They open up a series here today against Northwestern. A sweep is important, not just because of the way that it sets up for the Big Ten standings as we get ready for next week in Omaha and the Big Ten tournament, but Northwestern stinks. Can't afford a loss against the Wildcats. All right, LaShawn, wrapping up. So I've been talking here a lot last week or two about the over-under at FanDuel for every Big Ten team, including the Iowa Hawkeyes. Put them up on the screen here for our viewers on YouTube. You see Iowa there. 7.5 is the number. Very simply, Iowa, if you think they're going to win 8 games or more, you bet the over. If you think they're going to be 7 or 5 and worse, you bet the under. So that's all well and good. First of all, LaShawn, I think that number is absolutely crazy. I don't think there is any reason at all that we should see that be the number currently out there. I don't get it. It doesn't make sense. They won 7 games last year in the regular season with some of the worst quarterback play and offensive play we've seen a Power 5 conference history. They just got to win one more game with an easier schedule. What am I missing here? This seems like, I hate to say lock, this seems like a lock. They're going to win 8 games or more in the regular season.
Yeah, I mean, hey, I'm not a person. I'm not the biggest betting man at all. But if I had to, you know, really stay here and make a claim, I'd be like, yeah, I mean, they're for sure going to win more than 7.5 games next year. Like, they made improvements on the roster. Defense is still going to be phenomenal. It does set up an easier schedule. I mean, I think I just looked at it the other day. Maybe the biggest game of the year is the Penn State game in Happy Valley. So, like it's a very, very favorable schedule. Like, and if Iowa continues to do the Iowa thing, right, I feel like they're going to be all right. And I feel like every year when it comes, whenever Iowa's had a year where it's been kind of like a disappointing end or just wasn't what kind of we expected, like from not only like inside the building, but from, you know, general fans, I always feel like there's some type of, there's always like this like bounce back like type of year where it's like Iowa brings his head back around and it's like, yeah, like we're still here. We're still, you know, a really, really good football team. And I feel like this is setting up for that, for a good chance. So yeah, I don't know. I don't know how they got that line. I think they just figured, you know, let's put all like some of like the regular Big Ten West teams, just throw them in there, just give them 7.5, 6.5 wins line, and then put Wisconsin at the top because they're Wisconsin. And that's how I feel like they went ahead and placed those lines.
I really struggle with it. I do. I think the gap, and you can make an argument. Look, Wisconsin gets that game in Madison against Iowa. All right, there's an advantage. They're still going to be good defensively, but the transition that they're going through offensively, I struggle with that. Now, here's another thing. Not yet available. It will be soon at FanDuel. They will have the odds, not just to win the conference. Those are up right now. Iowa's 14-1 to win the Big Ten championship game, but they'll have division odds up. And there is another site that does have those up currently. Wisconsin's the betting favorite. They're plus 160, meaning you make a $100 bet or a $10 bet in my stake. You'd win $16 or $160. Iowa's 3-1, though. I don't think the gap is that big. Wisconsin favorite, fine, but that big? I don't get it, LaShawn. Iowa, what am I missing here? You know, I'm also not the most optimistic guy. I think they're going to be really, really good this year. I think they have a chance to be 10-2, 11-1 good this season. Is it just that national narrative that we got to see it from Brian Ferentz? We have to see it out of this offense. It was just so bad the last 2 years. Does that remain, I guess, the question?
I really feel like that's really honestly like kind of what it's come down to. I mean, like, don't get me wrong. Obviously, Wisconsin, they've been a phenomenal program for a long time now. Mm-hmm. They brought in a great coach and Luke Fickell has done it, been successful basically everywhere he's been. But you watched that Iowa-Wisconsin game last year, and you're like Iowa looked like they were well ahead of them in that football game. And Iowa improved their roster this offseason. Obviously, Wisconsin did as well. But Iowa improved their roster again. Like, I feel like if Wisconsin is better, I feel like it's not – like, they're not that type of – that big of a gap better than Iowa. So, I really think it's going to come down to – the offense and how they end up performing, because obviously everyone knows the comments about the offense, right? We talk about it every single opportunity we get. But if the offense is even just, you know, marginally better than they were last year, which I think they have the opportunity to do, because again, the line play wasn't great, quarterback play wasn't great. And you know, you've made improvements at those key spots. Like, I don't see how the gap's not closer, to be honest. So I'm believing there right with you, and I think that they have the opportunity to be a really, really good football team this year. So that's kind of where I'm at with it.
We're in the same spot. Well, this is a good time for the players getting ready to make their way back for June. We're going to talk about that as well. Kind of when you get those new teammates in there, what's that like for the Iowa program? I want to get your perspective on that here in the coming weeks. Good catching up with you again, though, LaShawn. Appreciate it.
Yeah, it's always a great time.
stay busy over there. And I saw that Likeness is coming to the EA Sports College football game. So we'll get to actually play with Cade McNamara as he'll come back for another season next year, right? We'll be able to do that.
Yeah, that's the hope, right? I mean, obviously it comes down to the player's decision at the end of the day. But yeah, like pretty pumped about it.
That's cool. Good stuff. LaShawn Daniels, Trent Condon, thanks for joining us here on the Locked On Hawkeyes podcast. Everydayers again. More coming your way as we'll wrap up the week tomorrow. We got you covered on the Iowa baseball front. Iowa softball also played in their tournament, postseason tournament. That's going on right now. We'll get you updated on that. And as always, plenty of football and basketball talk here on Locked On Hawkeyes. Thanks for making Locked On Hawkeyes your first listen every day. We'll talk to you again tomorrow. Go Hawks.